Welcome, and thank you for choosing to come and worship this morning. My name is Jill Frank, and I'm standing in for Peter, who is with our teens today in their Rite 13. We have a few announcements this morning. If you're visiting for the first time, he will rejoin us at the end of the service and would love to meet you, as would I. There's also a welcome table on the other side of the bridge where someone will be available to start a conversation with you and hand out some of our teachings after the service. There are several announcements in our bulletin about work groups, about the movements, about second line participation, and the registrations for these are all open, I believe, through the end of August. So take a look at those and sign up if you're available. Next week, we're going to be having a discussion about our community reading, which is altered traits. So you might finish it up if you're getting close and be pondering what it is that you've received from it, so you'll be available to share. And now let's take a moment in the silence and ask the Spirit to bless our time together today and connect up with our intention for being here. Amen.
Let's join together and invoke the Holy Spirit with our song, Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit.
Spirit come.
Please stand and join us in singing the gospel in One Word is Love. Lord of the universe, master of this and every moment, Abba, we thank you for the opportunity to come together in your love. We ask that you open our hearts, our minds, our bodies to receive. May we hear a word, a phrase, feel your presence, and take it out into our lives, transformed. We ask this in your most holy and precious threefold name. Transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, and immanent indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
So our message from Paul today, I hear a template for how to live our lives. I hear the Spirit already rumbling and manifesting, the filling occurring. Yeah, feels good. Thank you. Yes. So I hear his message offering us an aim to be filled with the Spirit, and from that aim to come together in the name of our lineage, the Lord Jesus Christ, singing in praise and gratitude. And I also think it gives the instructions on how to manifest that aim. So this is a powerful passage. It says, "Watch carefully how you live. Do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand." Those are the instructions to manifest our aim. So what gets in the way? It's just a little paragraph. It doesn't sound that complicated. But what gets in the way of our consenting to live this way? We're going to focus today on consent, consenting to see in a new way through watching carefully, understanding to connect in a new way, and being filled to be in a new way. We're also going to connect with our foundation that we stand on in this church, the two legs of our church, centering prayer and the work of interchristianity, because I think that's what really gives us the tools we need to manifest this aim. So starting off with consent and see, Maurice Nickel in the work of interchristianity says that the object of self-observation, which we're going to talk about, is to let the light of consciousness into what lies in the darkness. Tim used to say you would want to know. So the watch carefully lets us know that there's a lot going on underneath the surface that we may not be seeing. We tend to get into grooves in our life and to just repeat the same things over and over again in the same ways, unless we start to get the light in. So one idea is to look at, what is it that we're consenting to? What is it that you give your attention to? And that's a good clue of where your energy and your love lies. If we take snapshots over time, we can start to uncover what our tendencies are. In preparing for this talk, it was really interesting to see that a tendency I have is to go in many directions, to do many things, and to have trouble reining it in and focusing on the one thing. And this is something I've seen all through life. My parents are here. I'm sure they could attest to the fact that this is not a new thing for me. So when I came to this church in 2000, I had had a program running of affection and esteem. And that program had crashed and landed me on the doorsteps here. And what I found in starting the work of interchristianity was that all through my life I had been busy with many things, and that in that scattered attention I wasn't really present to the ones around me. I had great wish to be a good mother, a good wife, a good daughter, a good student. I really wanted to be good, and I did a lot of good things, but I was spinning in so many different directions that I wasn't really present for any of them. And that landed me in a big wake-up call, where the life, rather than integrating, disintegrated. So it was a wake-up call, and a lot of times what we find is unless we insert something new, we will re-enter into the same program again, quite unintended. We can get rid of a partner. We can change jobs, change our diet, you name it. There's a lot of things we can change and think that we're going to be a new person. But unless we insert some new ideas, some new influences, we will gradually fall back into the same pattern. So I got to see that very gradually. My program for affection and esteem and being good shifted. Those eyes, as we call it in the work, became a little more passive, but they were replaced by power and control eyes that had never gotten to come out and play. And so those started manifesting. Thankfully, I quickly engaged in centering prayer. And centering prayer offered that stability and that grounding amidst all of the excavating and uncovering of those unconscious programs that were running as those became evident. So the prayer is something that can ground us as we enter into the work. And we have a beautiful synthesis of the two, of getting light on what's going on as well as bringing God's love in to handle it for us. Maurice Nicol has a commentary on intelligence and self-observation. In Paul's message, he says, "Don't continue in ignorance." So let's listen to what we hear about intelligence. In this work, we learn through the method of self-observation to become increasingly conscious of how we take things as we are now. This is the first step, to know oneself, to become aware of one's mechanicalness, which one always accepts as oneself. That is, to realize that we react mechanically in the same way. But in this work, we are also studying how not to take things in the same way. This is the second step, and it is called self-remembering. From Paul's words, being wise, filled with spirit. In general, man is asleep in his mechanicalness, and so the world is as it is. That is, humanity is asleep. Now, if the stimulus arising from without always calls up the same reaction, the same response, the same feelings and words from within, it can be said that such a person is not intelligent. Why? Because he has no power of adaptation. The same associations are followed and the same reply is made. In the work, there's another definition of a lunatic that I like. A lunatic is said to be someone who continues to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And I think we can all connect with a lunatic in us at times. So, how do we move towards understanding and connecting in a new way? Yesterday I went to Scriptorium, and Peter brought out the Greek meaning of understanding is to connect, to make connections, to bring together. We talked about it as being able to see both ends of the same stick together. So the work offers us the opportunity to bring the light of consciousness in and to see what's been running the show from the inside and to connect it with what's going on, what we're manifesting in our life. So in my case of being attracted to many things and going in many different directions, as I got more grounded in the work and the centering prayer, the things I was attracted to did change. I started spending a lot of time up here in programs and classes. I did counseling, all manner of good things in themselves. There was nothing wrong with them. So, what's wrong with being attracted by many things? What I could see is that in order to gather our attention, we have to start coming under one authority and start letting go of things that distract our attention from that one thing. One year I did, I think, two work groups, a second line group, and movements, as well as being involved in several things. So all good things, all feeding something deep in me. But what I found is that I couldn't give myself fully to any of them. There were readings, there were practices. I never practiced the movements. So even in the good things that I was engaging in, I was still spinning my wheels and not really honing it down to the one. So this past year, I was blessed with a year of retreats. Back in, I believe it was November, I was asked if I would hold center for the six-day retreat, which just occurred at the end of July. And that started a period of real wish, real desire to slow down and to start allowing the one thing to live my life. And in that search, I began with the Advent retreat. I went to the 10-day Lenten retreat. I went to a 5-day in Garrison with Marianne and Father Carl and Gail. And then a couple of retreats around here. And what I saw was that the prayer works magic. The going into the silence is what finally starts grounding out all the exterior attractions. It's not that they go away, it's just that the attention I give them is no longer being dissipated in so many different directions, and it all started coming together in the one thing. Father Keating says that what silence does, it morphs into the presence of God. So the silence is not just silence or emptiness or nothingness, but it's the best preparation there is because there's no obstacle. And then God's love, since it's so pervasive, just comes in like the weather. And like it, it fills any empty space. One day on this retreat, I was walking along the path that goes around Cedar Break. And it's a little 1-mile loop. And all along that loop, there are little boards with excerpts from Psalm 100. And I've read these so many times over 18 years of going to Cedar Break. But I was in a particular state of that silence and in that presence. And as I walked along, I think it was between Enter His Court Singing Praise and We Are the People, the Sheep of His Flock, I realized that there were tears just coming down. And I wasn't in any state of drama. There was no story associated with those tears. And what I realized is that I was seeing a very ordinary sight, just a beautiful nature sight. But I wasn't seeing it through Jill's eyes. I was seeing it through the eyes of love. And I had this experience of that something, that consciousness, that love, that God was seeing through my eyes. And it just connected me with the responsibility that we have and the opportunity that we have to see things on such a deeper level and to be filled with Spirit so that we can open to allow all that is to see and to manifest through us. It stayed with me, and it was a high point, but what I'm realizing is that that's available in every moment. As I look around this room, I see love and light and life in this community. And in a way, it's ordinary, and in a way, it's extremely extraordinary. Another thing that the prayer does is that it connects us in the bond of love, the one thing. Yesterday, I was sitting in scriptorium, and there was a 2-day commuter going on, and I saw someone that was on the 6-day retreat. And my heart jumped. I felt like Elizabeth in that passage of that something in me, the essence in me, jumped in the connection of getting to see this person again that I've known only in the silence. And I loved her and was so grateful for that connection. Thursday night, we were blessed with being introduced to Phil, who is here visiting. And Phil has been a member of our community from afar for decades. And when I saw him, Judith told me he was here and told me who he was, the same tears started, even though I've never met Phil until Thursday in person. I knew that love for him, and he shared a little bit with us. But for those of you who weren't here, I invited him to just share a couple of moments about his experience of the prayer and the way it binds us in community. And they're bringing you a microphone.
Let me step up here where I can see everybody. First off, greetings from the Contemplative Fellowship at Old Folsom. 1995, we started a group there that modeled our journey after Thomas Keating's Open Mind, Open Heart. At that point in my life, and this is really appropriate for today's lesson, we look at it as be careful what you ask for, you just may get it. We all asked for a lot of things, and we got it. I spent 30 years on a journey that was not a pretty one. Prison is not a pretty place. But we got blessed through Judith, who's, I guess, teaching a class, of getting in contact with everybody here at the Church of Conscious Harmony. And I just want to take time, and I've gotten to greet a lot of people who I've heard for years on the work CDs and the work cassettes, back when they were cassettes, and to say thank you, because many of you in your sharings have helped so many of us. There was a time, and I shared with Greta today, that I was really, really in it. I was looking at probably ruining the rest of my life with violent behavior. And I listened to the CD works. And she made some comments that week that just made me just step back a little bit and say, wait a minute, is this really worth it? And which eye is talking here? Who's in control here? And it allowed me kind of to step back and let go of the garbage that was going on. You all have done that over the years for not only me, but numerous, numerous people there that have been exposed to you through the love, through the wisdom, through the universe. This energy is so real, and centering prayer is so real. We started our groups on Friday night, and we got to sit there and sit with you all on Friday nights. And there's a bond there. You were talking about the bond of love. It's a very real, real thing for us. We felt that bond. We felt that connection. Unfortunately, the powers that be moved our meetings to Monday night, and we immediately noticed the difference. You know, I mean, there's a major difference when you got 50 guys who, out on the yard, as we call it, hate each other, sitting around a circle in chairs, feet on the floor, with your eyes closed, with a candle in front of you, centering, letting go of all of the garbage. And we use the onion layer, you know, of all the stuff that we've layered on year after year after year of our growth and our lives. And as that comes off, you begin to see what love is. You get to see what humanity is. You get to see what sharing is between people. And we learned a lot from the energy that was shared. There's no way of saying or expressing the gift that you all have given. I just, you know, personally, I never dreamed I'd be able to be here. I mean, I started this in 1995. And I think I ran across you all in like 97, 98. So you guys have been with me for a very long time. Dennis came out and visited us, and I couldn't wait to meet him. And Eric has been sending me the work CDs for years and years and years. And all these people that I've, you know, Catherine's and Tamara was another one that, I mean, I've heard her so many times, and I've stopped and said, wait a minute, did she really say that? Oh, that's real. Okay. And we would sit there and we would talk. There was like three of us that were kind of sharing with the work. It's not for everybody. And centering prayer is. We use centering prayer at Folsom. Well, now it's morphed more into a Catholic program. But we keep your belief. Who's your higher power? Open your heart to whoever your higher power is. Use your sacred word, let it go, and open up to that. Because I guarantee you one thing, you do that and Spirit will act. Spirit will come in and help you change. I don't deny that I needed to go to prison. I don't deny that I hurt people very badly. I lived a life of making choices that were not wise. But centering prayer helped me change all of that. It taught me what was real. I was blessed, you know, you get what you need. I was blessed with a lady who taught me what love is. And unfortunately, she died of cancer, but that journey was one that helped me change. This journey helped me change. I'm starting a new life now. I'm free. I'm off parole. I'm done. Now I get to select where I want to live, and that's kind of why I'm here at this time. My wife convinced me that this is the time to come and do this because I'm off for surgery, and unable to work at this time, so I'm here. And I'm checking out Austin, I'm checking out CCH, and I'm checking out, is this where we want to go and spend the rest of our lives? We have a son in Oregon, so it's in competition there. The wife kind of wants to go to Oregon. I kind of, after this experience, I want to come here. You know, so this is totally awesome. I get to meet so many people here that I've known for years. Rusty, I waiting to meet Rusty. Yeah, so another one that's shared a lot of on the discs. So each of you have a very special place in my heart. Not only mine, but a lot of different people's hearts as well. So I want to take this opportunity to say thank you in so many ways. You have no idea. I wish that you could, you know, come and experience that fellowship, that sharing, that love. And this really is love. And you can't believe, I'm just overwhelmed at the sharing here and the acceptance has been, I mean, I'm getting hugs from people and don't let go, okay, hello. I got to meet members that have been here that I've known for years and never got to put a face to. So thank you all, and I appreciate your acceptance and your love. And we return that love. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I heard Phil say letting go of the garbage a couple of times. And I think that's something that we do both in the prayer. The prayer is connected with the process of unloading, where space is made. The love gets in there. The light gets in there through the consciousness of the work. And as those things come in, things start being rearranged and space starts being made. And before we know it, we're connecting in ways that we didn't know were possible, connecting across the barriers of time and space. And it's not necessarily the Jill or the Rusty or the Tim that held you. It was the prayer and it was the love. And that's what crosses beyond the individuality into something that's so much bigger, the presence of the silence, the presence of love. So in this community, as Phil said, we're blessed with these two legs. We have the tools we need for the understanding to get the light on what it is we've been giving our energies to, our consent to, and to allow it to be brought to the light of love, the light of consciousness, and to utilize the tools of self-observation, of non-identifying, of getting separation from it and holding it out lightly and seeing it for what it is, and then of remembering, oh my God, I'm connected in this continual flow of love. So what would a life filled with spirit look like? I think we just heard some of that, and it can happen anywhere. It can happen in Austin, Texas, or in a cell in Folsom Prison. It's not confined to time or space or financial status. It's everywhere. So I see it as an ordinary life lived with extraordinary love, not the love that Hallmark card love or little loves like I love chocolate, but the love that is deep in our, that's coming up from within. There's the word perichoresis that we're going to hear in the closing reading, and that refers to the divine dance, the idea that when we start entering into the flow, being filled with spirit, connecting with understanding, connecting in love and light and consciousness, it begins to flow. And what I'm feeling is this, that it's flowing with the breath. As I breathe in, I can bring in the energies of the scattered fragments that are out there that are trying to go in all these different directions. I'm invited to bring them in, see them, their energies. I can give these energies back up to the source, back up to the love, and then it can flow back in. So it's a reciprocal maintenance. It's continual giving and receiving. It's open palm, not holding on or grasping, but just open heart, open palm, allowing. So Paul's message is incarnational wisdom. It's telling us how to incarnate Christ in these bodies here and now, and we have the tools we need. Cynthia Bourgeau offers a perspective that I think really resonates with what Paul is saying. And Cynthia Bourgeau is another friend in the work and in the prayer. And she says, every act of complete self-giving in the name of the fullness Even though you feel like you're isolated, ignored, unconnected, and meaningless, connects you immediately and becomes a sacrament of the manifestation of that dance of perichoresis, the fullness of love. That's what happened in Jesus' case, and that's what he's teaching. It's not a renunciate path. It's not a hold back, guard your purity, don't touch the world because you might get contaminated. But it's the world of give yourself fully. Hold nothing back, because in this act of complete self-giving, you make manifest what the kingdom of love looks like. So self-giving, observing, choosing the influences that I'm partaking in, and letting go of the ones that aren't serving my aim, in the name of God's will. Peter shared with us yesterday a little bit about Paul's history, and we know that he was knocked off the horse and blinded by a light and couldn't see for a few days. But what a lot of times we don't hear about is what happened after that. Apparently, for about 3 years, he went into the desert and lived and had to make sense of that blinding experience of consciousness that he'd had. And Paul closes his reading by saying, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. He said the word that he uses for Lord is Kyrios, I believe, and he said that it actually means mystery of light in Greek. So giving thanks always and in everything to the mystery of light, the light that comes in and heals us and connects us back with a love that's always there flowing if we can just get out of the way. So it doesn't matter what it feels like. I can observe it. A complete observation gets more light on what's going on in my body when I'm under various influences. I'll confess I'm a huge Astros fan, Rusty, and I can really come under those influences. Ask Jeff, and it's pretty noisy. It wouldn't have a contemplative look to it. there's nothing wrong with having fun. This might be self-justification, but I have to watch how much attention I give to this. And it's easy to get sucked in when I start joining up with these things that I can really get energetic about. So I can feel it. I can feel the contrast between the energy going up and out, and I can feel the difference of the energy being drawn back in. The divine dance, the flow between the spirit, the creator, and the manifester. It's not a renunciant path. I love retreats. I think I will probably get 40 days in this year, which is amazing, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And yet, I'm in this world, and I work, and I have a family, and I have a community that I love, and it's not my path to be a renunciate and to be a monk, even though it sounds really attractive sometimes. But I can be fed by the silence, and I can bring it back, and I can consent fully. And watch out when you consent, because it doesn't mean just being a yes person, which I've typically been, but it means consenting to be filled with the Spirit and to go where the Spirit leads. And if that means sitting in this chair, consenting fully to it and engaging and being willing to share. I'm going to close with a prayer. It's Psalm 34, which is the psalm reading for today. I will bless the beloved at all times. A song of praise will I sing. My soul speaks to the beloved continually. Let all who suffer hear and be glad. Oh, open your hearts, friends, that your pain and loneliness be turned to love. And then we shall rejoice in the beloved together. When I searched for love, the beloved answered within my heart. And all my fears flew away. Look to the beloved, and your emptiness will be filled. Your face will radiate love. May it be so. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song. Now is the time in our service where we take our tithes and offerings, and we remember that we can step into that flow in the material as well as in our energies. And we take our tithes and offerings in our hands and join in our offertory prayer. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Amen. We bless these tithes and offerings with the victory of consciously chosen love over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
O Lord my God, I am in awesome wonder. I consider all the worlds your hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Your power throughout your universe displayed. And my soul sings, my Savior God and me. How great you are, you are so great. And my soul sings, my Savior God and me. How great you are, you are so great. Now Christ is come, unfolding incarnation, and brings us home deep within our heart. So I bow in quiet contemplation, then I know my God, how great you are. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
So now we have the opportunity to bring together the love and the light in Eucharistia, which means thanksgiving. So let's open our hearts in thanksgiving, holding our 13-year-olds particularly in love and light. Please join me in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain you always hear an answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is a cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Abba, Abba Father, you are the potter, we are the clay, the work of your hands. Mold us, mold us and fashion us into the image of Jesus your Son. Jesus, your Son. Father, may we be one in you. May we be one in you as He is in you. And you are in the potter, we are the clay, the work of your hands. Mold us, mold us and fashion us into the Jesus, your Son, of Jesus, your Son. Father, may we be one in you. May we be one in you, as He is in you. As He is in you.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. And let's all join in thanksgiving and stand singing Amazing Grace. We ask that you shed the light on all our garbage and connect us up with what it is to be filled with the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.